Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Matthew 7. I read a few verses as the text verses for the sermon, Matthew 7, verse 24 till 27, where we read the holy word of the Lord as follows, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The theme for the sermon is two men building a house. Three points of attention. The first point, the manner, and the second point, the test. The third point, the result. The theme is two men building a house. Three points, the manner, the test, and the result. Congregation, it happened when the well-known missionary Livingstone passed away in Africa. They brought his body to England. And when his body arrived in England, the people were crowded along the streets. You can see that probably before you. And there was a man standing amongst the people there, and he said to the person standing next to him, while he was sobbing, he said, "Oh, I knew Livingstone when he was a young man, and he told me about his calling, his call to do the missionary work in Africa." And I laughed. I ridiculed him. And I took my own way. I made a different choice. I lived for my own pleasure and for my own wealth and gain. And oh, the man said while he was sobbing, "Well, I took the wrong way and he the right." Can you understand such a saying? Can you imagine how it would be if you would be at the end of your life and you would have to say that? "I took the wrong way. I walked in the wrong direction." And I know, as long as there's life, there's time of grace. But oh, that we wouldn't be deceiving ourselves in choosing the wrong way against the word of God. The Lord Jesus is finishing his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, which started in chapter 5 and ends at the end of chapter 7. And it feels like he is taking it all together here in his last part of the Sermon on the Mount, in a very serious way, and showing that there are two ways to behave after listening to his words, receiving his words. And he is making it clear by drawing a picture of two men, each of them building a house. He is teaching us by that picture, by that illustration, that life is like building a house. So we are all now at this moment and all the days of our life busy to build a house. And we do it by all the words that we speak, by all the thoughts that we have and all the deeds that we do. You could say they are all building blocks to build a house, the house of life. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us that we can do it in two different ways. Not three. Not four. Two ways. So, there are two kinds of people building in two kinds of ways their house of this life. And we shouldn't think that, well, the difference is if you are inside a church building or outside a church building, that's where the border is. No, that would be a most dangerous thought and mistake. No, we know that there is a separation even within the church. Two kinds of people. Two ways to build the house of life. What a serious thing that the Lord Jesus is teaching here. And we all, when we hear this teaching of the Lord, we have to search and examine our hearts and lives. This morning. And we have to do it every day. In the light of the Word. Before the face of the Holy God of the Lord. And we would make a mistake if we think, well, we are fine if we walk in the way where the most people go. And that's what we are so prone to do. That's how the human heart is so prone to think. That I'm fine if I'm doing what most people do. I'm fine in church if I do what most church people do and think and what their belief is. Then it's fine. Is that true? Well, the Lord Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we should not be discouraged if our way of building the house of life is only done by few. Well, it's a sad thing, but it doesn't mean that we have the wrong way. It's exactly the opposite of what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. So, I'm not saying that you should try to be exceptional and different from everybody else, but we should live according to the Word. And we will experience that many have their own thoughts that they follow, although they like to cover it with religion. And there's a danger that is even more serious. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So the fact that we prophesy in the name of the Lord is not a foundation for our life and for the house that we are building. Because the Lord Jesus is warning here. He will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So we are not saved because we have an office. We are not saved because we are a pastor. No, certainly not. We need another foundation for our house. There can be false prophesying. Christ is warning here, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That's so scary when you think about it. You cannot recognize them so easily till you know their more and more their inward life. Then you will become aware, when you compare to the words, that they are not true prophets, but false prophets that just make a show with religious life and are not converted and not changed inwardly. They just impress people by the things they do. Oh, you really tremble when you think about that.
to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus and to be cast out because it was not true inside. So we need to search our hearts. There are two kinds of people, two kinds, two ways of building, two kinds of builders, not three, not somewhere in between. We know the true foundation in Christ, in His words. When you listen to Christ, He's talking about a foundation that is needed, and it is to be found in His word and living from and in and according to His word, being changed inwardly by the power of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those two builders, they have a lot in common. If you see them building their house, there's a lot in common. They both build a house, and if you see it superficially, it can look the same. It's a beautiful house that they build, both of them. But there is such a fundamental difference, and the difference is in the foundation. So on the surface, they have much in common, but there's a striking contrast. The Lord Jesus says, the one is wise, and the other one is foolish. And that's making all the difference. They're building a house. So we learn from Scripture something about the houses, how they were in the time of the Bible. You learn from Scripture that thieves can dig through the walls. So they might build it from clay. And that they could open the roof. So you wonder how firm and strong the houses were, but we know it all depends from the foundation under the house. That is the most and the one important thing for the house to stand or to fall in the times when the flood will come and the rain will come. So they build a house at a location where you could say the waterbed is, or where even in summertime there can be a small brook. But in wintertime, when the rain will come in abundance, when the clouds will open up and burst from water, then that small brook will become a wide and powerful river of water. When the water will come down from the mountains or the hills, and yeah, then the question is, can the houses take those forces of the water? When they will hit the houses, will they stand or not? So they build a house in this spot where the water in the winter time, when the rain is coming, where the water will be hitting the house. And so the important question is, if there's a strong foundation under the house. And the one man was wise. He thought about the future. He thought about what would happen. Not today, but one day. And so he made a house on the rock. And when we read in the Gospel according to Luke, we see the same illustration that the Lord Jesus is using in Luke 6. We read, and he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid a foundation on a rock. So this man, he took time and energy to dig. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. It was a hard work. So you can imagine that the other one was far ahead. He just started to build a house on the sand, on the ground. And he was finished much sooner because he didn't have to dig.
And he didn't have to spend so much time. He did it the easy way, just building on the surface, and everything seemed to be fine. Everything looked nice, seemed to be a good house. But it was not on the rock. And the Lord Jesus says, this is the difference. If you hear the words that I speak, and if you do them, or if you just hear them and do them not, it's the difference. If it, the words that I'm speaking, they change your life from the inward, or if you maybe just approved the words, but continued to live in your own way and your own thinking. So they built a house, both of them, but oh, how different it is. Although at the surface you cannot see it so easily. But there is a test coming. There is a day of testing. The Lord Jesus speaking about it. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So that is how it could be in this time in the Middle East, in Israel, where the rain could come from the Mediterranean Sea, and that cloudburst after cloudburst would come, like we hear nowadays in, is it in South Carolina, where the people experience that rain so abundant, so much that there's a flood and there's a lot of destruction there. So the rain is falling and the water is coming down from the mountain and the hill and it's beating against the house. Oh, what a test it is for the house. If the house will not fall when the wind is falling against it and the rain is around the house, will it stay? So there will be a test for every hearer of the gospel. Every person this morning here in the house of the Lord, hearing the word of the Lord proclaimed, has to know there is a time of testing, and it can be understood in different ways. What does it mean to be tested? Like the Lord Jesus is giving an illustration of the winds and the storm and the rain and the floods coming and hitting the house. What kind of tests are there in our life? Well, we can think about a test of the trials and the tribulations in life. If you think about biblical examples, you can think about Job. That rich man who had everything, was very rich, and a God-fearing man who lived a righteous life. And one day, the one message after the other message came of the disasters about his cattle and even his children that he lost and his property. And after that he lost his health. He became sick. His wife didn't encourage him. Oh, what a test. Satan will be there. Where is God? And what does it help you to fear the Lord? What about us? If there will be such a test in our lives, if we will lose things that are very dear to us, or if we will lose our properties, if we will lose our beloved ones, if we would lose our health, if we will be deeply disappointed in life, and then to believe that there is a God, and then to believe that there is a righteous God who's ruling this world wise and good, and that everything is in his providence, and then to trust him and to be in agreement about his sovereign way of doing in your life. What a test. What a water flood hitting the house, and what winds are falling against the walls of our life. How will it be shaken? Would your house stand in that day? Did you experience it? Was there a foundation so firm and strong that your house didn't fall? Was Christ the foundation of your heart? Did you have that strong anchor of hope in that ground which is Jesus Christ and His work? Like the Apostle says in Romans 5, that we even can boast in tribulations, and that we will not be ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, that you inwardly have that knowledge by faith, that He gave His blood and His life to save your soul, so that you could say with Job, if He would kill me, I would still hope in Him. That's a miracle. That's grace. That's not a result. That's not a fruit that's growing on the field of our own natural heart. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the power of the Word in our hearts and lives. There are many other tests that can come in our lives. If you think about Abram, who received after many, many years a son, the son of the promise, Isaac. And he had to sacrifice that very one son. That's what the Lord asked him to do. And he rose early in the morning. There he went 3 days, willing to do what the Lord asked him. So if the Lord would ask you to give up what is most dear to you, the Lord would ask you, young people, to give up the plans of your future, because He has another plan with your life. Oh, it can be hurting for our flesh, but how good it is if the Lord is making us willing and giving us that strong and firm hope in Christ, like a foundation. Then we will not be ashamed or disappointed. If you think about Joseph, who was sold by his brothers to Egypt, made a slave, accused falsely, came in prison, and then, even in the time that he was a slave, he was tempted. He was tempted by the wife of Potiphar, and to sin. So, in a situation that you are disappointed about how things go in life, left alone, not having anybody around you from your beloved ones, and then Satan is coming, and you are young, and he's coming with his temptation to get some pleasure of sin, and then to be on such a strong foundation that you could say, would I do such a thing and sin against God and refuse to do that? Young people, what a strong foundation there is in the life of Joseph, that he fled away from it. What a test. What a water floods. What a winds against the walls of his house. And his house was standing. We know other examples from Scripture where the Lord is testing. Where the Lord was testing Judas, isn't it? And Judas fell, betraying the Lord. Well, it was not that the Lord is to be blamed. The Lord, when He is leaving a person to him or herself, then we see the result. When the Lord is not giving that strong foundation in the Word and in Christ, there will be rebellion in our hearts. There will be resistance, like it was in the life of Judas, against the way that the Lord is going with us. And he didn't want to go that way. He became angry and he betrayed the Lord Jesus and brought himself in a situation of being desperate. Oh, when you think about your own weakness, we are not better in ourselves. Yeah, then you pray daily, oh Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Yeah, we need a foundation under the house of our life. What a test it was for Peter when the Lord Jesus was going to suffer and he couldn't see the need of it. And oh, then he denied the Lord. But he didn't fall away because there was a foundation. And his house was shaking, you could say. But the Lord said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And it didn't. He repented and he received forgiveness and grace. Do you know that firm foundation in your life? How are you building the house of your life? Every thought, every deed, every word is like putting a building block in that construction of the house of our life. And where are we building on? What is the foundation? Did we dig to find the rock to lay the foundation on the rock, like we read in this teaching of the Lord Jesus? So what does it mean to dig till we find the rock as a foundation? Isn't it that we in an earnest way seek the Lord by studying His Word, by being aware from the Word about our needs, and that we pray and cry out by day and night for the light and the guidance of the Spirit, so that we will find Christ as the Savior of our soul? Isn't it that we become honest about our situation, and that we in a wise way see that there will be a day of judgment? Yeah, the test. There can be tests. There will be tests in life. But certainly there will be that one big test at the end of our life, when we have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if we would be foolish and only build our house on sand, on the thoughts and the opinions of man and our own hearts, and then the floods will come, the floods of the judgment of the Lord, and then the rain will come and the wind will blow and the sand will be easily taken away from under the house. Oh, what a terrible thought. If that would be our way of building the house of life. How is it with you? Yeah, our heart is deceitful. It might be that we say, well, we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot build ourselves on the rock. And that we try to hide behind that thought and just sit and continue in our old way of life because it feels so comfortable. And to change is not easy. We don't like it because that means that we have to be honest about ourselves and that we have to face our life like it is and that we have to face it in the light of the Word. And it will really break our pride.
It will really show that we are in no way better than anybody else, and that we have sinned so seriously and so many times against God, and that we cannot think anymore that we are acceptable because of things that we have done and that we know and that we have, because we are a faithful churchgoer, because we read scripture, we pray, we think so easily that we do better than others. And it is good to do it. It is good. That is the way to find the Lord. But if you think that that is the way to have a foundation in it, what you are doing, you make a big mistake. We need a foundation of the work of Christ. So what we need is to search our hearts and lives in the light of the Word, and to become honest about ourselves. If you are a pastor, if you are an elder, a deacon, if you are a professing member, if you are baptized, or whatever we are, we have to face our lives in the light of the Word. And the result should be that we lose all hope, that we become honest about ourselves, that we see that we have a heart that is so sinful because it is always lifting up myself at the cost of the glory of God and at the cost of the love of my neighbor. It's always trying to get advantage from every situation for my own glory, for my own benefit. And we do it in a very smart and hidden way. And that's what we bother about by nature. And even if we mention the name of Christ, we can still be busy to do it. Oh, it's so painful to see that. So then, yeah, if that light of the Word is searching your heart, then you lose everything. Then you cannot look down upon anybody else. You really become to be in the lowest position. You really acknowledge that you deserve the wrath of God. You really admit that your heart is so depraved and so corrupt. You really become kind of amazed that people still want to have anything to do with you because your heart is so mean, in such a subtle way, so depraved. You are so untrustable. You are such a liar, so deceiving. And your heart is such a source of, and such a fountain of dirty thoughts and wrong desires. How can people want to be in contact with me and to have to do anything with me? And how is it possible that the Holy God is coming to me with His Word? So you see that everything is sinned, and everything is unable to build your house upon. It's painful. It's deep. It's breaking your heart. It has to happen. That heart that is so hard as a stone by nature, so cold, it has to happen. It will happen when you see how you are. Oh, be honest about it. Search the Word, not for your neighbor anymore. It's about me. It's about me. It's about you. We deserve hell. We deserve eternal destruction. Oh, it's really the grace of God that we are not in that place of eternal destruction. Out of our hearts come all those wicked things, stealing, adultery, lying, murdering, all these things. Christ is saying it. He is the truth. If you don't see it, be sure that you are still blind, and pray that the Lord will open your eyes. You need a foundation
Not in anything of yourself. That's like sand, and every water flood will take it away. And that will mean that your house will be destroyed. And that destruction will be so big, it will be an eternal destruction. But is life a serious thing, young people, adults? Did you use life to dig, to find the rock? And there are such rich promises in the Word that you will find the rock. And don't say, well, I cannot do anything because it's all the work of the Lord. That's what you learn afterwards. If you have been digging with all what is within you because you see your need and you find that rock to lay the foundation of your house upon that rock, which is Christ, which are His words. Yeah, then afterwards you will say, oh, that was the Lord working within me. He made me seek. He made me find. He elected me from eternity. That's why I had that faith in my heart. It was worked by the Spirit. But don't say it at forehand to go on in your own way and direction. And don't think you are safe because you have the right and reformed understanding of things. If Christ is not there as the rock of your heart, if you don't know that power of His work in your heart and soul, you're still building on sand. You're still in a very dangerous situation. And today is the day to see it, to have your eyes opened, so that you will be drawn to Christ, the Rock of Ages. Let us sing before we continue. And let us sing Psalter 3:55. Psalter 3:55, stanza 1 till 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall never be overthrown. 3:55, stanza 1 till 3. Beloved congregation, it might be that you think, well, it's depressing what you say about man. It's not nice to hear that. Well, let's say something about Christ. Because that is the way to have deep joy in your heart. Well, you are honest about yourself and to see that there is a source and a fountain opened in Christ. And oh, what a result we see in that house that is standing after all the power of and all the force of the storm was completely spent. There stood that house, still standing there. You can see it before you. All the floods have been falling against the house and the storm, and it was standing there. If your life is founded on Christ, you will not fall in all eternity. If He is the peace and the joy of your heart, if you are made honest by the power of the Word to look away from yourself after you have discovered how you are, to look away for salvation from yourself, to look upon Christ, that is a life with hope, with real joy, and not to be depressed, and not to be desperate, while you are not neglecting or ignoring how you are in yourself, but to be aware. And probably we can never be fully aware about how we are, but to be aware in the light of the Spirit about how we are, how deeply we have fallen, and that will give us to look away from ourselves, to seek life outside of ourselves. So that is, isn't that what God is working, so that we will be no more in the center. It's not about me. It's about Christ. Oh, what a freedom it is, if you know that. Not bothering all the time about your own honor, about your own glory, about your own benefit, but to set your mind upon Christ and to think about Him. Do you have those nights that you cannot sleep? In all the restlessness of your heart, in all the disappointment about how you are, how men around you are, what is the way to get peace? Well, to set your mind upon the Word and to think about Christ Jesus, who became man like we are, but without sin, and who is now in heaven, and that merciful high priest. And then peace will enter your soul like a river. Peace that you cannot make yourself, but that He is giving out of Christ. Oh yeah, we need to be cut off from all hope in ourselves. That knife of the law is sharp if we use it in an honest way, to cut us off that old root of Adam, so that we will be in that new root of Christ. That He will be our life, that He will be our hope, and that He will be our joy. And maybe you say, my heart is too hard. I cannot. Well, what is the solution if you have that experience? I cannot come with a broken heart to Christ because my heart is like a stone. If you cannot come with a broken heart to Christ, come for a broken heart to Christ. Isn't it His work? Isn't it His overflowing love that will break that stone inside, that will make it to melt, will transform it, change it into a heart of flesh, living heart. So, children, There's no need to wait till you're old. Christ is a Savior that can take and is willing to take your heart of stone away, to make it a heart of flesh. That's the work of the Spirit. It is not your own work. Then there would be no hope. So that you would come to Christ on your knees this day and pray for that. Young people, do you experience a heart inside that is having a desire to live your own way? That's like building your house on sand, and you know what the result is. When the floods come, when it will be tested in this life, or at the end of this life and you have to pass away before God's throne, oh, then the sand will be taken away from under the house. It's only a small push of the wind. And then the house will fall in complete destruction. You see it before you? That man that finished so soon, in such an easy way, the building of his house, because there was no digging, no real foundation that he made and found on the rock. Yeah, that man, when the floods come, he has to see the destruction. You see the pieces of his house in the water. There's nothing left. It's a total ruined situation, totally ruined. It's most terrible. What a fool it was that he didn't think ahead, that he didn't think about the things that would come. He should have known. And we know, it is revealed to us what is going to happen. And you can see it around you every day. People pass away from this life. We all have to die and to stand before God's judgment seat. And you might think, I'm still young. That is the best time to seek the Lord and to find grace in Christ. And we don't know if you will grow old. I was in Canada doing also a topic for the youth, and there were a few older couples. There was one older couple, and when we had a break, talked to them. And the lady, afterwards the man also, they were crying. I said, how are you doing? She said, oh, well, we're doing fine, but you know, we have some tears now, because that song that you were singing was, they sang it at the gravesite of our grandson. He was 18 years old and had cancer, passed away. 18 years old. So, but he knew the Lord. The Lord used that disease for his salvation. So his house was on the rock. When they gathered in the room in the hospital, he could talk to them. He said, I don't know how to say it, but he gave a testimony about what God has done, had done to his soul. How old are you? Are you 18 years? 16 years? 20 years? It's not a big deal how old you will be in this life. I hope that you will get some more decades. But what is a decade? Ask it to someone who's 80 years. 85. Ask them how long it is. So it's a short time. So that's not a big deal how old you will be when you have to pass away. But the big question is, if you have that foundation under the house of your life, and it is proclaimed to you today, and it has been proclaimed to you many times, and if it is not there, why not? To blame God? Isn't there a way in his eternal love opened in sending his only begotten Son? And he doesn't ask you to prepare yourself in such a way that you are good enough, but to acknowledge that you are not good enough to save yourself, to be saved by anything of yourself.
So to be saved by Christ is totally His work. That's why it is possible for you. That's why you shouldn't tarry or delay. What a destruction. What a difference. The one house standing after the fourth of the storm was complete. So there are here children of God that know that foundation, isn't it? How good it is to know that foundation. Someone wrote me a mail one day and he said, Pastor, it is like this. There is a storm coming up with all kinds of things attacking you. It seems it comes all together to a climax. It seems it becomes too much and you don't know what to do. Only to hide in the Lord and to seek Him more and to cry out for His help. And then there can be a time that a storm has spent its force and you will be amazed that the Lord has kept you. There the house is still standing after the floods came and the storms. There will be another storm. There will be other floods. But there is that certainty, work by the Spirit, that you will not fall. Yeah, you might stumble, but the Lord will lift you up. And at the other side, there is that certainty for those that don't know that rock in the words and the work of Christ. So it doesn't mean when the Lord Jesus says, well, those that hear and do the words, it doesn't mean that you make a foundation in your own works. No, it means that you will rest in the word and the work of Christ. And if you don't have that foundation, then be sure that you are in a most dangerous situation. If that does not change, you will be lost. You are like laying on the edge of a deep place in the mountains where you can fall every moment to destruction. And you are like sleeping down that edge. If you live without Christ, why are you doing that? Why are you still deceived by your own heart while the truth is preached to you so many times? And while Christ has given everything to pay for the sins of the chief of sinners, like Paul, like me, why would you be lost? Well, there is such a deep, deep promise in the Word that the Lord will not turn away those that flee to Him in their poorness, in their guilt, in their sin. And at the same time, there is such a serious warning. If you would read, for example, in the Gospel to John, chapter 12, if you would read verse 48, it says, He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What a warning. And now, at the same time, it is so true what someone said. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never forsake. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, what a firm foundation in Christ, outside of ourselves. And if we reject, like we have read from John 12, then that same word will judge us. Oh, that word that is having that strong foundation in it of the gospel of Christ, of his sufficient work and sacrifice, bless it to our hearts. We pray for forgiveness about everything that was not according to thine holy will in speaking and listening. Help us in the catechism and Sunday school classes, O Lord, and bless the word to the hearts of the children and the young people and the adults. Lord, be also in the adult class and in the Bible study this afternoon. And Lord, that we would study the word for ourselves to find that rock outside of ourselves in Christ. Be with us this day, O Lord. Keep us from that eternal destruction that we deserve, but that Christ took upon himself for all those that in their helplessness and hopelessness flee to him, drawn by the word and the Spirit. Lord, hear us and receive our thanks, and let thy name be glorified forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.